Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Truck stop brothels run by a web of ex-cons. A Commonwealth attorney wasted on whiskey and power. Protection exchanged for cash and flesh. This is Hooker Game, Criminals and Libertines in the South. And I am your host and lifelong wayward woman, Dr. Lindsay Byron. Listen to Hooker Gay, Criminals and Libertines in the South on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast Climbing in Heels is back and better than ever. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s...
She looked like a million bucks.
...scams a bunch of famous athletes out of untold fortunes...
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
It's just unbelievable.
Hide your money in your old rich man, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Nikki Glaser Podcast.
Here's Nikki.
Hey, here I am. Hello, everyone, as I clear my throat and it didn't help anything. It's Nikki Glaser. Welcome to the Nikki Glaser Podcast. It's Thursday, and you know what that means. Wait, why isn't this working?
Oh,
God.
It tricked you.
It almost didn't work. And it has a mind of its own. Oh, Andrew forgot to take the plastic off this button. Like the film. Get ready for the sound. Hold on. ASMR. Oh, yes. Nice. Look how smooth it is now. What was he even thinking? Noah, how's it going?
Good.
You're in studio.
I know. It's so funny.
Welcome. Oh, we didn't turn on our sign.
Oh.
I don't know why that's not on.
Here's the remote.
Oh, there's the remote. Sweet.
Sorry about that, Mark.
There we go. We're back on. Now the show's starting. Welcome. Hey, guys. Welcome to the Nikki Glaser Podcast. I'm Nikki Glaser. It's Thursday. Last night, we had the live podcast at Joe's Cafe in St. Louis. So many besties came out. Unreal. So many individual besties that were then sat together as groups, and they became friends throughout the night. And like, I thought a lot of people were couples or friends that came together, but no. Just individual besties coming out to shows. It was so much fun. You were so good, Noah. You looked so cute. You looked like Taylor Swift at the Tiny Desk concert.
That's
what you looked like.
So I wore a blazer.
Yeah, plaid blazer.
And I gotta say, it was, like, when I went to the store to buy it, I was like, I think Nikki would like this.
I loved it. I loved it. I want to get one for myself.
You
I was on Poshmark.
It.
What? No. I mean, I will follow up on that and see if you're serious. But
yeah,
I loved it so much. It it's hard for me though, because sometimes with blazers, I see them online and I see them advertised like a fun boyfriend blazer, like oversized, because yours was kind of oversized.
Yeah, but still narrow, not too boxy.
Not too boxy. Yes. It just, it looked, it made you look petite as opposed to, sometimes I put those on and I feel like it's a costume.
I have a story to tell you about a blazer.
Please.
So, before we met, the first time I saw you, we were at Sirius XM, and I see this, like, tall blonde in this, like, blazer. I'd never seen anyone wear a blazer like this walk into an office, and I
was
like...
Whoa, she means business.
I know, and I was like, who is that? And I was, like a couple of feet away, I was just looking,
I wonder what it was, what blazer.
It was, like, this gray, it was, like, gray, white, and black, like... I don't
probably
know what
a
the
Rent the Runway.
Called.
Yeah.
So then and this was even like before I worked in comedy. I was like on trucking radio. So I text my friend Roland, who is, you know, is everybody in comedy. And I was Roland, who is in Jack's office? And he like walks by, you know, just like grazes by.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, it's Nikki Glaser. And it was just a bit, like around the time that my sister and I watched your first Netflix special
where you
were wearing like the black sweater and the leather skirt.
Yes, like, yes.
And I was just like, what? And then fast forward and we worked together.
It oh my God. And I'm wearing a Taylor Swift shirt that I got from a kid that when I was doing local radio in Richmond, Virginia. And I was like, I love your shirt. And he took it off. So that's me today.
I love it when there's like stuff on the sleeves.
There is, that's the best kind of merch. Yeah, we're both wearing long sleeve t-shirts that have stuff on the sleeve. What is that band? Wait, can I try to read what this heavy metal? So it looks like Machu Picchu on the bottom. Is that right? Or is that just like
guess again.
Wait, is that something? Should I
it
know
is.
It is what? I mean, it looks like a mountain that has a bunch of stars on it. Or like, is it a mountain? Or it looks, you know what? It is a rat going, argh!
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what it is.
So it is.
What's the band?
Grave Senu? Graves, I don't know.
Gravesend? Yeah. Which is a neighborhood in Brooklyn. This is
Gravesend. Oh, I thought it was like, we're sending you to the grave. This is a grave send. And then you get stabbed. Are they really good?
Yes.
What are some of your favorite tracks?
I might know someone personally that's in this band that's anonymous on it.
Oh, ooh, wow. Okay, gotcha. Makes so much sense. Fanthrax. So, yeah, last night was so much fun, and you were wearing plaid. And
what was your impression of last night?
It was just like, it felt like the Tiny Desk concert. Like, if you've ever watched those on NPR, like, it was like kind of an eclectic background. You'll see it eventually on the video on our YouTube, but it was just like doing, at first it was a little awkward because I felt awkward because, you know, I'm so used to getting on stage and there being like laugh. I don't treat it the same way that I do a podcast when I'm like performing. I'm not usually sitting down, not usually talking to someone. And so I was a little bit like out of my element, especially the first part of the show where I just monologize. It's like, what do I even...
Yeah.
I don't usually have a plan. And last night I was like, what's my plan? And I just couldn't come up with one. And I had some loose plans and then they all went out the goddamn window. And my parents were both there. And I usually feel like, I don't know, the first part of the show, like, you're the only one who's ever there. And you're usually in Arizona on my screen. And I never feel uncomfortable talking to myself in front of you. But Luigi, you gotta stop licking. It's so annoying. Last night it was like my parents sitting there staring at me, like my ex, like friends, my parents' friends who were like being supportive, just besties who were wishing me the best. But it was like, it just felt a little awkward at first. And then within, I think, a minute, I just eased into it and found the rhythm that I wanted. And then Andrew came out and it was just super comfortable. He was a little nervous at first too, and then he got into the vibe. You know, like at first it's just, it's awkward. It's different. And then you just feel the love from the audience, and then you just are kind of like, okay, everyone's supportive. Everyone
such
wants
good energy.
Yeah.
I mean, I am never on stage. I like to stay in the background.
Mm-hmm.
But everyone who came in was just like, hey, Noah. Oh my God. Hi. You know, like everyone was so sweet that it made me feel so comfortable.
Yes.
And I'm like, okay, you know, everyone here is for us. So if I make a mistake or anything, you know, like they're going to be totally supportive.
They're friends, like coming out to see you and support you. And that, yeah, that almost makes it like a little bit more intimidating to me sometimes, because with strangers, I can like fail and I know that there's not going to be, they're not going to like feel something extra. Whereas like you, when you watch your friend fail, there's a little bit of like, just there's a like a, you pity them a little bit. Like, I didn't want any of that. But like when you watch someone that you go to see as like a fan, which people, you know, besties are fans, you could say, but mostly they're friends. And so I felt a little bit of that, but it was so supportive. And that, you know what, fame in Australia is kind of like the way we have besties. I didn't know this, but I have some friends in Australia who are super famous. And like when they get recognized, people just go, "Hey, Andy." Like they're just friends with him. And so he never knows if it's like a friend or someone who's like a huge fan. Because that's they cool. They have a thing called like tall poppy, like not our version of poppy, but like you don't, they hate the tall poppy, which is like someone who thinks they're better than everyone else because they're famous. So they have a way in Australia, it's almost like they just don't want anyone being better than them. They don't like treat celebrity like we do in America. It's just like, "Oh, hey, Andy, like your work," you know? And I kind of, that's how I felt with the besties last night. They're not, not that I don't love when a bestie is like shaking and crying and stuff. Mm-hmm. I love that reaction. I'm that, I do that too. But there was just a familiarity to everyone where I look at them and I mean, so often I say, "Have we met before?" Because it just feels so familiar. So it was really nice. Yeah. And like, we were even able to go to some places of like, you know, not usually during a live show do you go to like kind of not darker places, but like talk about real stuff and not keep it all just like fun, like just joke.
It was
joke.
Just conversational, not like, you know, your comedy routine.
Yes.
Andrew was saying that for him, doing the podcast was easier than doing stand up, like more chill.
Yes. Well, there's two other people there to cover the slack. There is no expectation for you to be funny because it's all, everyone knows it's not planned. Mm-hmm. And so anytime you make a joke that's funny, it gets a bigger response than if you were seeing someone with stand up. Because with stand up, you go, "Yeah, I expect to hear some jokes." People don't really look at stand up anymore as like they're coming off with it off the top of their head. But when you see a live podcast, you're like, "Well, they were just genuinely like quick right then." And I think there's more. Andrew's really good at that, and so he was probably. And Andrew gets really nervous about stand up, which I don't anymore. So for me, it was like the opposite, where stand up's my comfort zone, and then this obviously is comfortable in a room alone. But on stage, I just feel like. Like, I just go, "Oh, what, you know, why people just are going to watch me have a conversation with my friends?" But the thing is, I would do that.
Yeah.
With my favorite podcast. I wouldn't mind it. And we had some great besties doing Fanthrax and asking questions. It was so much fun.
And your mom.
Oh, my God. My mom was like the Ricky Lake of the crowd. She went around and put the microphone in different people's faces and did not know what she was doing. She just kept going like, "Do I ask him Fanthrax? What do I ask him?" And I'm like, they ask her question, Mom. It's all good. But everyone was so sweet. And then afterwards we stayed and like took pictures and stuff. And it was just like a cool hang. I got a lot of texts from people I was working with that I was, they were like, "Are you okay? You seemed really upset when you left." And I was like, "What?
What?"
Like, I had to ask them, like, why did you get that impression? Like, I was in the best mood at the end of it. I was really, like, depressed earlier on in the day and just, like, not feeling good at all, tired. I'd flown in from, you know, L.A. yesterday early morning, and I didn't get a chance to nap, and I went over to my parents' house, and I, like, cried a couple times, and it was just, like, and I'm on my period and just, you know, a lot. And, but then the show put me in the best mood. I was like, I walked out of there skipping.
There was a surprise for you.
Oh, my God. That was the best thing, too. I casually mentioned at one point that I made a joke that during the live show it would be funny if I had a foot masseuse on stage during the show. And the people that are following me around with cameras said, they just made it happen. I just made an offhanded comment to Andrew, I think. And one of them heard and, like, made it come to fruition. There was a masseuse there.
Yeah. Mandy. I had no idea this was happening. and someone from a crew that we don't know why they were there.
Yeah, we don't know why cameras are all over the
brought,
place.
Brought this masseuse, and her name is Mandy. And she's like, here's Mandy. And I'm like, oh, hi. Can I help you? And the production person goes, oh, yeah, she's a masseuse. So then I text you, and I was like, hey, Nikki, Mandy's here. And then you go, who the hell is Mandy?
You don't know who Mandy is.
So then I'm like, oh, she's the masseuse. And then I think, like, I can tell it in the text when the light bulb went off, when you connected the two things, because I just get like a barrage of texts. Oh my God. Oh my God. Yes. Yes. Oh my God.
I started coming already. I was so excited because I just feel like all I want is touch and like massage and like people to like touch me, and like I've really like my body is breaking down, my canker sores, like now I just am always like tired and sore, and my feet, and like I just crave a touch. That's why I went to that fucking face massage place twice in a row. I just wanted someone to touch me, and massage is too much for me because it's like you take off all your clothes and it just feels, I've talked about it before, but after I get done with a massage I just often feel icky and like kind of abandoned. They're just like, put on your clothes and get out of here. And I feel cold, and it's just like I was just like so warm and being touched. It's just, but when I went to this face place, you leave on all your clothes and you just like lay back in a chair, and it's not as jarring of an experience to go from massage to the world outside. And that's why I like foot massage. But I also don't like in LA, every time I've gone to get a foot massage, they're full, they're mad at me. They like, I can tell that they're, I always go to like the Thai places, and I just know that they are tired and overworked, and I just like don't.
Yeah.
I want to go to like corporate ones that are run in a way where I don't think the people doing them are being abused or taking advantage of. So what that leaves me is the Face Gym in LA, or this woman Mandy, who we went to for the thing that I'm doing with all the cameras. I had met her before, and yeah, she just rubbed my bunions while I was on stage. Because I'm like, to be honest with you, I'm pissed, Noah. Like the other day I was like, I'm pissed. Because Andrew gives a really good foot massage. And it's not that much work. He uses his knuckle. He knows exactly where to go. Like he has nailed it for me. Like exactly what I need. And like he can only do it for like 2 minutes. And then he's like, ugh. And then he has to act like he's disgusted by it. And like, ugh. And then it's like, I don't know. Like, first of all, I offered to pay him, and then he goes, you don't need to pay me. So then I didn't. Like, when someone says you don't need to pay me emphatically after you say, he kept, because I go, I'll give you $100 for a 15-minute foot rub. Like, that's how badly I want a foot rub.
And that's how good his foot rubs are?
Yes, they really are. Like, he does the right amount of pressure, and I can kind of guide him. Like, I'm not scared to go, no, stop. Oh, yeah. You know, like, right there, this spot right here. Whereas massage therapists, they're like, I was trained for this, so I know your body better than you do. But like, all I want is foot massage after a show. Like, if I had a thing that I could give someone that took minimal effort and took 15 minutes of my time to make the person that's bringing me out on the road, who has brought me along on the podcast, listen, he gives me a lot of things too. But if I had a skill that 15, like, if I've always offered him foot rubs, like, can I give you one? And he always is like, oh, and like, listen, I know he's not my boyfriend. I know that's not something I should expect from him. But I just want my friends to want to like offer me foot rubs sometimes, especially my friends that are on the road with me and see me on my feet for 3 hours a night sometimes, sometimes 5 hours a night with meet and greets in these boots. And yes, I'm choosing to wear those boots. But like, nothing. Have you ever seen me get excited about something more than someone touching my feet?
No.
I mean, I promise you it was as excited as I got when like I matched with a hot guy on Raya who just wanted to be friends and start a podcast with me. Like, at first I thought I had a shot, and I was like, yes! Like, it was like foot massages to me, the promise of one, especially one from someone that I can like direct and like who gives me good enough pressure down there. It's better than getting a text from a guy you like. It really like fills my soul. And like, it makes me sad that someone in my life, a best friend in my life, has the ability to give me that. And literally 5 minutes. He says he gives me massages all the time. It's always from, I have to put my foot up when he's in the passenger seat, and he just goes like this. and with his knuckle and goes, ugh. And the whole time he's like, okay, that's enough. And he just.
Why is he making the face though?
Because he has to pretend it's gross when Andrew is. Yeah. Andrew well, brushes his teeth once a day. Andrew, like, he has crumbs all over him. He's not grossed out by it, by the way. He doesn't wash his hands. He doesn't care about the grossness. Oh, okay. It has to be like this thing of like, I don't like this, but.
Maybe we could do a barter system, like ask him what he would like in exchange. Because maybe it's not money, but it's like something else.
Yeah, I think he would like money and I'll pay him for it. But then he always goes, you don't need to give me money. And then what am I supposed to do with that? Like, just still Venmo him? I'm just like, mm-mm. I guess I'm just, I have to admit to myself that I'm sad that I have friends, and this is not including you because you're not around in my life, but I have friends that could like give me this small thing that would make me so, if I was had the ability to give my friends something physically that would make them their body yeah. feel better, I would give it if it took 10 minutes out of my time. But it's always like I have to beg, and it's just like, is it, it makes me feel unloved, to be honest with you. I'm like getting a little, and that's why like I can't be with a boyfriend who won't give me foot rubs. Like, if it's like a, if it's, I understand if I'm just like, rub my feet, they hurt and it would feel nice. It is not.
You don't do that.
It's not a, it's not about it feels good. It's like the one thing in life I want more than anything, yeah, anything. And so few people can give it to me in the way that I can't, I like, which is like someone I can communicate with properly, because I have issues communicating with LMTs, licensed massage therapists, because they always, I don't want them to hurt their knuckles because they're, you know, these tiny women and whatever. So I guess I'm just like, why? Why can't I get offered more foot massages from my friends? But maybe I need to look at what I'm not putting out there, that what I'm not doing for them. So maybe we work on a barter system. Let's figure it out. Andrew!
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and I'm back for another season of my podcast, Climbing in Heels. You might know me from The Rachel Zoe Project or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as fully obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. My podcast, Climbing in Heels, is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season, we're taking things up a notch. I'll be talking to some incredible women across so many industries, from models and beauty industry stars to doctors, entrepreneurs, and TV personalities. Climbing in Heels is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Every week, listeners will be able to ask me any questions. I'm answering it all. My life is absolutely crazy with so much going on, and I'm so beyond excited to bring you along for the ride. Whether we're talking red carpet looks, current trends, or products I'm obsessed with, I'm here to be your fashion fairy godmother. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Truck stop brothels run by a web of ex-cons. A Commonwealth attorney wasted on whiskey and power. Protection exchanged for cash and flesh. This is Hooker Game, Criminals and Libertines in the South. And I am your host, Dr. Lindsay Byron. 3 years ago, I came across a goldmine of news clippings detailing a scandal that rocked my small southern hometown. As I flipped through each page, this forgotten story came back to life.
I was told that it was just supposed to be a massage parlor.
The big shot in Danville was Barker.
He beats me continuously.
If you print anything that you hear in the grand jury, you will be put in jail.
I never gave any massages.
Listen to Hooker Gay, Criminals and Libertines in the South on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Andrew.
Hey, ladies.
What's up?
Hey.
How'd you sleep?
Well, Noah's giving me some four eyes. There's six eyes over there, boy, and four tits. It's a lot. And Luigi's penis.
Yeah, it's somewhere in here. It's inside me. It's not.
Just kidding.
Just kidding. Okay, wait, I got to put the speaker up to it.
Just kidding.
My mom really had a lot of energy when she recorded that last night. We talked about the live show.
What a dream.
Noah said that you liked it more than stand-up.
Or felt more comfortable.
I love it, Noah.
It's Squid like Game. Squid Games. She's ratting you out, bro. I want Noah to keep moving with us.
I'm done talking to you, Noah.
Yeah.
I'm done. You're
I'm
not
a mole.
I mean, I think a mole at least lasts 6 hours before she spills everything.
I love talking about you. I can't help it.
When did you divulge this to her?
I didn't say it was better. Yeah. She's also misconstruing my story.
I didn't say better.
No, I said you were more comfortable. I phrased it in a way that would get you in trouble. Noah.
Yeah, get Noah in trouble.
Okay, you were more comfortable.
Yeah, I just there's less stakes to me.
I felt the opposite. What are the stakes of performing stand-up?
Well, they're not even that high anymore.
You've been
either.
Doing it forever.
I know, but it's all you. I think any sport that is the individual and it's just you, like I would say being a tennis player is scarier than being, you know, an offensive lineman.
I feel like it's not even about sharing it with like the other people that takes, I mean, I guess I It is. It's less pressure to me because
stand up is
less pressure because I'm in control. I think that having extra people does take away some of the pressure of I can't have to fill all the. But I have a plan with stand up, and I know how to talk in a way that's like quippy. But I don't know how to combine. I don't know. I don't like to be on stage with silences. Whereas on a podcast, I know that. There's times where people are just going to listen and don't need to be, people aren't expecting to go, ha, ha, ha,
yes,
ha, ha every yes. 2 seconds.
But I think that gives you a buffer to be like, okay, we're doing a podcast. They're not laughing every 3 seconds. It kind of gives you an excuse. It gives you a scapegoat as opposed to stand up.
I get what you're saying. But yeah. For me, when it's a live audience, that's why I expect like you should have, it's the setting for which I expect people to be entertained every like they put in a lot more effort than they do a podcast. You put headphones in your ears and press play and do the dishes or walk the dog. When you get on an outfit and you buy a ticket and you drive to a show and you sit in a seat, that is a higher level of entertainment in which you you don't want to watch it. You want to watch a TED Talk on YouTube. People don't pay to go see TED Talks as much as they pay to go see things that keep them. You know, if you went to Cirque du Soleil and they did a cartwheel every 5 minutes, you'd be like, "What am I doing? Like, yeah. What are we watching here?"
And then in between, they just talk about mental health.
That's what I'm saying. That's why
they're like, you ever get sad? Backflip. I mean, I just don't understand.
And like, podcasts are an intimate thing. Like when people listen, they're alone. They're listening to it in their ear. Like it almost would be good if we did live podcasts and everyone had on headphones and closed their eyes.
Well, here.
Or we dimmed the lights so they all felt like, or we made them do the dishes at their tables.
You know those raves?
Or driving.
Yeah.
Those raves where they... It's like a silent rave where they put it in the headphones. Have you ever seen something like that?
They tried it with stand-up.
Yes. What?
Oh, you never saw this?
No.
This is unbelievable that they did this. But if your headphone was, it was like red or blue, the light on it, two stand-ups are doing stand-up same time on stage.
That's fun.
They could pick who they want to listen to. So the person on stage, if they're bombing... They're not getting anyone to everyone just starts listening to the other
terrifying.
Comic. Oh, my God.
It reminds me of that Rory Scovel, John Doerr, Conan, where they're both booked at the same time.
Yeah.
One of the best things I pull up on YouTube whenever we're doing like a YouTube viewing, like, oh, have you seen this? Have you seen this? Rory Scovel and John Doerr did a bit where Conan pretended that the show double booked two comedians. And he's like, so we're just going to have them both come out here. And so they perform at the same time and you keep catching, it teaches you that you can't multitask.
Oh,
because there's no way to follow both of them. You cannot follow two stand-ups at the same time. And they just choreograph it in a way that like their punchlines hit at the funniest times. It's so funny.
I mean, I felt like last night was a perfect like, mix of leaning into funny and talking about real shit. Probably real shit as much as this pod.
Way
usually.
More than I'm used to on a stage setting. Like,
for sure.
Way more. It felt... I took some chances because my parents were in the crowd. Like, they don't listen to the podcast. They don't know the vibe. They're probably like, Nikki's being a downer right now talking about this stuff. But I knew that the besties knew that it would go to those places. And like... You know, I'd share something I learned that day or, you know, some kind of helpful tip to live your life better and stuff like that. But that's the problem for me is that people don't. And that's what I initially said. Like when I listen to a podcast and I hear a live one is coming up, I always skip that one because the energy is different because the person on stage is usually a comic that I'm listening to. And I know that they have it in their bones to take it up a notch and to perform in a way that I'm not used to on their podcast.
Yes.
And that they have to keep it funnier. And for me, a podcast is about more like intimacy.
Yeah.
And so it takes the intimacy out of it. That being said, it was really, really fun and we'll do it again.
It was, I was thinking about after you're done touring and then, doing that other show, then maybe doing some more live pods could be fun. Like in between of like,
do you think
like
my life's just gonna stop and open up for live podcasts suddenly? Like that's what I'll just be.
Andrew and I were fantasizing
about
it.
Yeah, me and I'm surprised Noah didn't tell you.
We need a lot more listeners and to be able to fill out a bigger rooms than
Joe's Cafe. No, that's all you're doing, Nick. That's
no,
all you're doing.
I'm just saying like
we're
no,
changing
I get what
your
you're saying.
Trajectory.
I get what you're saying.
But I would love this podcast
no,
to
I'm saying
have
like a
the,
little,
like,
yeah.
the kind of that's the, what I wish is that we had I need more listeners because not because I need them to feel good about myself, but because I would like to just do this only and have it be the only thing I do. And so we need a bigger audience.
Yes. But so I was thinking positively, I guess, and lying to myself. But no, but like the idea of like in between when you're going to start doing another special, working on another special.
Yeah.
We just do some live pods. That's all. Like for a month or two.
Yeah.
That's just a thought.
I think so too, but the
because a lot of people do write us. They're like, come to Boston, come to
and
you
like
know.
I mean, a lot of times I'm doing stand up shows, and then the meet and greet with besties is like, can I just get paid to do this? Can I just do a meet
people.
And greet? Yeah.
Well, that is kind of what a pod you do Q&A for 35 minutes. You know, we, you know, I mean, and then you're done pretty much.
I just want to get paid to go hang out with a bunch of people.
Heather McMahon does that. She like goes on trips. With like rich women to like Europe.
Yeah.
I don't know if you want to go to Europe or like be stuck with them in a hotel.
And it's always, it would always be people who couldn't afford me that I would actually want to hang out with. But the people that could,
oh yeah,
I'd be like, ugh.
I see what you're saying.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. That, I think the type of person that spends their money on a celebrity hanging out with them is not probably the person that I would want to hang out with.
Yes.
Yeah, that's at true. The at the price that these people are listed. And then you have to, the thing is, I want to be myself.
I know.
That's the problem, like, I'm really having with, you know, doing, and not even a problem. I kind of had a realization in LA, like, TV and movies and, you know, all the stuff. It's just, I don't know. I'm not trying to be like, I only want real stuff, but, like, I kind of do. Like, I just, I'm over anything that isn't real. The second I think a TikTok video is staged, I'm out.
Oh,
the
yeah.
second
yeah.
I see, like, even scripted shows, I'm just kind of like, ugh, it's not real. Like, I just, what is that about me? I'm not trying to be like, I'm better than, obviously, you know, theater is not real. And that's like highbrow. I'm not trying to be like highbrow about it. I just want things to be real. And I just want,
well,
you know,
you could make scripted things that come off like Succession
yes,
to me.
Totally.
Comes off I can't watch Mike and Molly or whatever, where it's like da 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 da. I could kind of get into Seinfeld, but I'd
Curb,
rather
Seinfeld.
I'm more of a Curb guy than yeah. Seinfeld because of that
feels
reason.
Feels more real.
Yeah, it feels like a fun.
Because they are like improv.
Documentary.
Well, even when they're doing a scene, there's not scripted lines. They're just kind of yes. going, they're flying by the seat of their pants, even though it is, you know, not a real conversation or whatever. But I also feel like even shooting TV this week, like, I just feel like I want people at home to know that, like, people aren't what they seem on camera. Like, someone like Jimmy Fallon is that nice all the time and, like, that enthusiastic and, like, just such yeah. a sweet guy. But, like, just having to go from, you know, I'm kind of tired and not really feeling good or whatever to, like, hey, like, having fun. It's just, like, just because, you know, and I'm playing a game show, so of course I'm going to do that. I'm not going to sit there and, like, stare at the floor despondently. You have to, like, phone it in. But I'm just, I don't want to, I
here's
guess.
Here's the thing. You have the perspective of doing something where you get to be authentic and then something where you have to be on. And yeah. you like being authentic. And, you know, that's cool. You're realizing what you want to shape your career in the future to be like.
Yeah, and go towards things that are more.
There is something, too, about, like, doing these, I guess I could use, like, Adam Sandler as an example of, like, and he might overdo it to seem more relatable, but he'll go on with, like, shorts
yeah.
and a t-shirt, and he'll just tell a couple stories. You could tell he's, like, probably didn't kill himself thinking about, like, I got to entertain.
Yeah.
He kind of just brings that realness to those kind of yeah. shows. Where maybe, you know, maybe it's like having to get done up and like the whole production.
I like that. Like, that
but you
doesn't
like
bother
that, though,
me.
Too.
That makes me feel good and fun. Yeah. I guess it's just like, I'm just realizing like in my relationships, in like my friendships, mm-hmm. in, you know, last night before the show, I was feeling really depressed and just like tired and hungry. And like, I did, like, I think the cameras following us around expected me before shows to be like, oh my god, we have a live show tonight,
yeah.
live podcast. They kept like kind of cutting in and going like,
how do you feel, what's your
like,
vibe
here, so like just,
what are you thinking about, what yeah. are you gonna talk about,
yeah, like, so tell us like what's gonna be the vibe of the show tonight, like what, like they wanted some, which I get, like people that aren't, that don't do what we do might think that we're like before a show pumping it up, and the thing is, I would be, but I'd play music that is copyrighted and we can't play, so like I can't just sing like
we
the wheels on the bus
song,
go
though.
Round and round, like that's not gonna jazz me up.
We sang a fun song though, we went off, remember,
but before a show I'm kind of quiet,
yeah.
And that's why I wanted to do something where cameras followed me around, because I wanted to show people what they think being a comedian or being on TV is all about, is a lot of just not
yeah.
being on all the time. And I think that even on those shows that apparently showed like the real side of things, if you want to see like the real side of a comedian's life, watch Conan's documentary,
mm-hmm.
I Can't Stop or something like that. I feel like I forget the name of it, but it's so good. And it really shows like how depressed we can be, especially someone like Conan, who you attribute so much like enthusiasm and energy to. Like, I just felt like last night, and then you said something last night that bothered me, which was like, you were just like, well,
didn't know, you know,
she's, you're like, you kind of said to the people that were telling us to like, hey, talk about the show. You're like, she's like, I would be, but I can't because she's not. And it's just like, are you that? Would you, like, before show, would you be like, yeah, show, yeah, yeah? Like, would you?
No.
Okay, so I felt like you were like, she's a fucking downer, so, like, I gotta,
I never even said that, go to you, what take she, my words and, you like, said twist
usually,
them.
No, you said, I gotta, you usually fall towards the energy of the other person.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay.
That's not a bad thing.
But, I mean, I thought it was a scapegoat for you saying why you were low energy. You're like, well, This one's bringing me down.
No, I'm not saying that I would have been like, yeah, my show's going to be great. I'm saying, no, I match people's energy. I constantly do that. It's almost to a fault. I hate that about myself. But I'm not going to be like, if you're fucking going, I'm bleeding, I'm sad, I'm depressed, I was just crying for 4 hours. I'm not going to go,
I didn't cry, hey,
did you
hours.
See that?
Four, not even three
4 times.
Minutes.
You yes. cried 3 times.
Yes, but not 4 hours. That's different.
How dare I?
I just want to make sure people don't think I'm crying for 4 hours. I mean, that's a long time to cry. And I literally, I cry 3 separate times for like 30 seconds
okay,
each.
My bad. Three separate times.
I'm not getting mad. I'm just correcting.
No. My point is, I sometimes think like, I'm just saying that like, if you're hearing all that and then I go, dude, but we got a show. Take that frown, put it upside down. I'm not going to be like that.
Yeah.
But I also like, I'm not going to like, like, I don't know. Like, yeah, I'll fall into, like, whatever energy I'm getting back. Like, that happens constantly.
Yeah.
Where then I overthink that person's energy and how I should be acting because I don't want to upset them.
Yes.
That is codependency, I'm sorry to say.
I know. I have it, too. I took a quiz. I took the attached quiz last night.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Oh, I got to take it, too.
Now. You should we take it right now?
Yeah, we could do it in
the news. What do you think I got, Noah?
Like, what kind of attachment style?
Yeah.
I would say avoidant. Anxious?
Yeah.
Really?
Like, textbook.
I'm shocked.
Really?
Yes.
In a romantic relationship?
Yeah. I think from what I observed, and this is not anything negative, like, my impression was that you would be more avoidant attached, which is when you feel like you get into a relationship, you do things not to sabotage it, but just to kind of like pull away from it.
I read it last night after it was like, did the assessment, and it was like, when you get in relationships, you scare people off because you are too intense and you put everything on it and you like go to you. And that's what I always do. I feel like people sense like, I'm like, we're in love now. Let's just like be in love. And this is like it. When really I don't mean that. It's just like, let's just have fun.
Yeah.
Like and I'm always worried they're going to break up with me. I'm always worried that they're mad at me.
Okay,
feel
that's
like
anxious. Yeah.
I'm constantly overthinking like it. Like there was one, I was looking up like, you know, TikToks about anxious attachment. And there's like girl being like, you know, if they don't, they can like leave you and be like, I like you so much. And then 2 hours passes and you don't hear from them. And you're like, did they remember something I said that made them hate me? And now they hate me.
Mm-hmm.
And like, and that is not how I feel in my friendships ever. And it's not how I feel like, and it's not anxious. Like I never think they're cheating on me. It's not about that ever. It's about like, did I do something that's going to make that, if they see something about me, are they never going to like me again and like never forgive me?
I mean, I just want to say the book Attached, about attachment styles, it changed my life.
Yeah.
Just reading and understanding what you're like in a relationship. I forget the term that they use for the behaviors that you use to like kind of ruin your own relationship. Mm. If you're going to read any book more than the 3 chapters, I would recommend that one.
Okay. Yeah. I downloaded it last night. All right. Let's get to the news. And then I want you to take the attachment quiz, Andrew. I'm going to say Andrew's avoidant.
You heard it here first. Heard it here first. Yeah, you heard it here first.
Oh, it's Thursday, folks. That means it's Thursday. I hope you're having all the swells out there. You know we are, except for Noah ratting me out.
It was not ratting.
All she said was you were more comfortable doing the live podcast.
I was speaking upset. Positively.
Were you?
Just kidding.
Just kidding down here.
Luigi just got so scared.
Yeah, well, that's your mom's voice. A man in Wyoming who was facing DUI blames his 4-year-old son. Says the son was sitting on his lap and was the one driving.
Oh, man. That kid's going to have anxious attachment. I mean, can you imagine your dad selling you out when he gets pulled over?
Apparently, he put racing gloves on the kid and aviators. That's what the. No.
That would be cute, though.
Pretty damn cute. Yeah, so the father, like, got pulled over. He was getting in an argument with
where
a woman.
Where is this? Is this in a Wyoming. Small town? Okay, yeah. So maybe it's a small town where it's like, yeah, the kids drive on your lap. And he's like, so I was letting my kid drive. And like, I could see it being like...
Well, there are some states where I think the driving age is 14.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, this kid's got 10 years to go, but...
yeah, that's a good point.
I do like that.
That was a good point that still doesn't help the story.
Yeah, yeah. But he had his other son in the car, too, the 15-year-old, but he didn't blame... I get it. Like, you blame the 4-year-old. The 4-year-old's not good. I mean, it'd be funny
if they
get
the 4-year-old. Can I guess how old the person was that the dad... I'm guessing if he has a 15-year-old,
and a 4-year-old?
He was... I'm going to say...
It doesn't show his
31.
Age.
31.
It doesn't show.
It was like, it was like 39. I think it was 39.
Oh, yeah.
Article.
He was 39, I believe.
Okay.
Can I tell you guys a story about getting out of like a bunch of cops pulling my friends and I over?
Yeah, please.
So I went. I was going to go hiking with two of my friends who are total like stoners and like one like to drink a lot. And my friend pulls out a hash pipe and lights it up in the car on the way there. All of a sudden, a police car comes out, stops us over. It's like highway patrol, and like you know, pulls my friends out, starts searching the car, finds our hash, finds our weed. Ugh. My friend had two bottles of Jack Daniels. One of them was open, and I'm in the back seat.
Were you panicked?
Yes.
If only you had a 4-year-old.
I was panicked because I had my dog Bruno. So then another police car comes Bruno. And you know like
they put little racing gloves on Bruno.
We did. So anyway, so they're searching us and everything. They're like, ma'am, put your hands on the hood of the car, take your right hand, put it on your bra and shake your bra out. And I'm like, okay, I'm gonna get my right and left wrong. Of course I did. I use my left hand. He's like, your right hand, ma'am, your right hand. So anyway, so they find all of our stuff.
God, they're like, just shake your tits.
Yeah, yeah. This has nothing to do with the field sobriety test.
But they let us go.
Why?
I think because they didn't want to have to deal with, like, if they took us to, like, the jail or whatever, the dog. Like, what would they do with the dog?
They have to call animal patrol. That's why so many homeless people have dogs, because to be arrested, you have to call animal patrol and stick around and wait for them.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So Bruno got us out of, like, something really bad.
Yeah, there's been so many times where I feel like I've been let go because cops, or not so many times, but, like, You probably, there's times you have driven past or been speeding and the cop is just like, the paperwork, like the hassle of doing this.
It's like when I got stabbed and the cop didn't ask me another question when I said it was the dog. I literally did that. I said it was the dog that stabbed me. Well, jumped on me and I stabbed myself. And he goes, all right.
Yeah.
Like, he's like, I'm not helping you. Like, I'm not filling out this.
This isn't my job to investigate.
He didn't ask what kind of dog it was. Nothing. Also, my buddy Rusty, remember? Rusty was driving, or the other guy was driving, and Rusty was hammered when he left me at the bar. You know, we played a game called You Got Left, and he threw Rusty into the driver's seat. And when the cops showed up, Rusty's like, I wasn't driving. Because the guy threw him in.
Yeah.
And Rusty was so fucked up. He goes, and this is all on film, by the way. Black and white. It's unbelievable.
Wait, like the cop cam?
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
How'd
Rusty
you get
has it. Because they went to like court. Somehow they got the film. And they go, the cop goes, I don't know if I told this on here.
I don't think so. I don't get it.
Okay, all right. So we used to play a game called You Got Left, which... when you're with like two or three of your friends, you leave one friend at a bar if it's like 30 miles away from the house.
This is before Uber. This is before.
Yeah, it's very difficult to get home. Yeah, yeah, cell phones were out, but yeah.
You didn't even have one. Yeah.
When taxis were like a thing. And so.
So mean.
So they left me. I got left at the bar. I get called. You got left, motherfucker. Figure it out.
Oh, yeah. Then you'd call and say you got left.
Yeah. So then I get left. I'm asking everyone at the bar. I go, hey, man, you think you can give me a ride home? This guy finally, this random dude, he's like, yeah, I could drive you home. And I was like, oh, thanks. I had to go like 35 minutes home. We're walking to his car. He goes, hey, man, you mind driving my car? Because I got DUI last night. I swear to God.
So he's drunk, so he doesn't want another one, is what he's saying?
Okay. So I'm driving. I'll be honest, I'm not.
Yeah, you're great. Hammered. Yeah.
And I'm driving his car like 10 and 2. It's an old Buick I don't even think it has power steering. He goes to me, he goes, hey, man, you mind if I smoke weed? I'm like, what is going on? So I drove his car to my house. He gets into.
And this is all because you got left. Because
I got left.
Shitty friends.
So my friend Rusty leaves me. So he did it, you know, the game worked. I got home. But Rusty drove home with this guy named Benny King, who was an ex-convict who was probably the biggest man.
What is your life?
The biggest. Like, this guy was in jail for a long time, Benny King. And Benny King was driving like 110 down on 95. Going back to Vero,
what?
About an hour drive, and he sees the cop lights turn on. They're turning around. He drives far enough where he has a little bit of time
to throw Rusty into the.
Rusty's like a buck 30.
So and Benny's went. Huge.
Benny's huge. You can see claw marks on the car where Rusty was trying. Because Rusty was like out cold, apparently. And he just wakes up to Benny King throwing him.
Where did Benny go? Like, so Benny.
Okay, so then Benny gets into. The passenger seat, and he's like, doo 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 doo, like, I'm just riding this. And so the cop pulls up and goes, son, were you drinking? And no, Rusty right away goes, I wasn't driving. And the cop's like, you're behind the wheel. Like, there's no dog. There's no four-year-old. It's you.
Yeah.
And he's like, nah, it was him. He was driving. And they're like, have you been drinking, son? And I swear to God, Rusty goes, well, I had a couple bars at the beer.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
I had a couple bars at the beer.
Is this all on tape?
It's the funniest thing I've ever seen. And it's black and white, so it makes it. It's like a Charlie Chaplin movie with sound. And so then the cop arrests. Rusty goes to jail. Benny King has a warrant out for his arrest. That's why he threw Rusty in.
So he still
goes to jail, too. Yeah. They can't prove it. Rusty ends up losing his license for like 5 months. Every morning, I had to pick him up to go to our real estate job. And every morning, I'd pick him up. He opens the door, and I go, got left? Every day. I go, hey, remember when you left me? Remember when you left me? How's that five months of no car? I go, so how's those claw marks on the...
Did he finally prove that he wasn't driving?
No, I just think
I thought you said there's footage on the thing of him being shoved over.
No. There's not. The cop pulled up after that.
Fuck.
But you know, they like did some kind of plea deal because there's like 50 of them that live in that town.
Jesus.
And, like, so they call a friend, whatever. But all dude, right. It was fucking
next
awesome.
Story.
Oh, a couple bars at the beer. Unbelievable. A witch. On TikTok,
okay,
shares how to hex your ex genitals.
Your ex's genitals.
Your ex's
genitals. Oh my God.
And what? All you need to do is start with a cucumber.
Oh no. That is so terrible.
So you're looking at the photo?
Yeah. I mean, that looks like a build your own dildo, like in the for Saw steampunk. Franchise. Yeah.
Like steampunk.
This does look like, yeah. Oh my God, it's terrifying. It has a bunch of nails in it and just like barbed wire.
It looks like what like WWF wrestlers would use to fight.
So that's how you put a spell on your ex's penis?
Yeah, so you cut a slit in it and then you want to write their full name, date of birth on a piece of paper. You fold it and you put it inside the slit and then you go to town on it with like chili flakes, nails, you know, anything that's going to hurt their penis. And then apparently they feel the burn on their own dick.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's like a...
just give them herpes.
Yeah,
so much easier. Jesus.
Yeah, save a cucumber. Ladies.
Go ahead and get it, and then call him up and go, hey, want to hook up again? Oh, sorry. Oh, my God. Did I just hit you? I'm so sorry.
It's okay.
That was me trying to
I mean, what fruit would you use for a woman?
A broadcaster. That's so disturbing. I've hated some people before. I would never want to even... I wouldn't want to do that to a vegetable, let alone a man. I feel like that was like... hurt me as a vegan seeing that.
Yeah, you're more, you would do it to the guy's dick so the cucumber would hurt.
We used to have voodoo dolls. That's hilarious. I've been hurt by a pickle that gave me canker sores that burned my canker. So bring your dick over here. I write cucumber. I scratch cucumber into his dick.
That's a long cock.
Yeah.
He's probably got a pickle.
I wrote cuke, let's be honest. No, I would never. I would never want to hurt someone that.
I couldn't do that. I couldn't do that.
I mean, it's just. What do you mean? You wouldn't. You wouldn't. And
I like if a girl even cheated on me, I wouldn't be able to like buy like a zucchini, cut it in a vagina, and.
I think it's kind of a fun thing to do.
Yeah,
like it seems like something you do at like a sleepover with your girlfriends.
Yeah,
something like a do a spell. I've done that before. I remember my friends wanted me to get my period back, and so they. Because I had lost it due to just like malnourishment and like stress. And like last year,
my
friends.
Did you check what the last pants you were wearing? Could it be in there? Could be
oh
in there.
Oh my God. That's
Wait, how old were you?
When this
you
was lost? Last year at Sarah Lena's house in the Hamptons.
So and you tried to summon your.
I mean, I was just like eating mushrooms and dancing to fucking. Runaway train, never going back. Like I was just having a good
That's
time.
That's what your period said.
All my friends were like collecting berries and like, you know, a piece of a possum's, you know, discharge. It's like, I don't know. They were just going around like gathering like nature, pieces of nature. And then they made like a little stew. And like, then we sat in a circle and we're like summoning fucking stuff. And I was not into it because I just casually mentioned I hadn't had my period. My friend went off on this whole thing of like, we can get it back. And I'm like, okay, whatever. It's going to keep you busy for a couple hours. And she went off and was looking for all these ingredients. And then when we ate this dinner, like you always have that one friend that's a little more like.
Wait, so she bought food that's supposed to summon your.
No, it was like we just like did this dumb like moon ceremonies and stuff. None of it worked, by the way. You know what worked? Taking hormone supplements.
Yeah.
Going to a doctor. not like making right scribbling our intentions on a piece of paper and. You know, looking up at the moon and drinking a purple potion and holding hands.
Sure it wasn't the cucumber on the peach or the ketchup on the peach?
Yeah, that was it. We had to
spray ketchup on a
sacrificing
plum.
My friend's dog was fun, but I don't think that's what brought it back. But it was cool, and there was blood, a lot of it, and and a lot of fur, which did not remind me of my pussy at all. But yeah, you know, you have the friend that's a little bit more like new agey than the rest.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so we were eating this meal before, before we broke bread, like my friends all made like a dish. I didn't do anything, but cause I don't cook, but my friends were making this meal. And then my one friend was like, everyone like say what you brought to the table and how it's going to give Nikki her period. And I was like, I need to say like, no. Like, we're not doing this. Like, I don't want anything. I don't want this to be about me. Like, couscous has nothing to do with my poos. Like, let's just fucking eat. I was getting so uncomfortable with it. My friend only meant well. And she's very, like, you know, like, talk to the mother moon and, like, you know, Mercury in retrograde. And we're all connected. But which I'm into that stuff. But when it becomes too much about me and my period and, like, how I've just started. It's pretty much, like... Let's just talk about how Nikki like can't take care of herself as a woman. It just like became more like, I think this is all about you guys and your obsession with your fertility. I don't give a fuck. I'm not want kids. You all do, and you're making this about that. And I should have just, I didn't get mad about it, but that, I realize everything's projection. Like, I should have just let it happen and be like, listen, this is about them, not me. I don't need to, you know. A lot of times I just wish that I would get to that point faster.
A menopause?
Yeah, of just like knowing that when I get mad at people about stuff, like, I can just go, this is their shit, not mine. Like, right. I don't need to confront them and try to make them understand that or make them feel bad about what they're doing. Like, they already feel bad. That's why they're doing this. And just know that. Even if, like, they don't know it. Because that's the thing I sometimes tell my friends, like, it's not about you. That's her shit. And they're like, but she thinks it's about me. It's like, yeah, she'll never, she doesn't, if she knew it was about her, she'd know it. She doesn't have the capability of knowing
right.
it.
And the idea of, like, whenever they're like, I'm so worried about your period. It's like, you just don't want to think about your own problem. So then you put it all on your
vagina. You're worried about your period and the fact that you are getting it and you don't want to get it because you want to be pregnant. Ooh. And I mean, that's really what it is. Women my age are obsessed with their fertility, and I get a lot of it projected onto me, especially when I wasn't getting my period. They're like, we're so worried about you. It's like, I know you're going through stress right now. I'm not. I'm actually loving this little break.
Also, you have so much blood in you then.
It doesn't build up.
Oh.
Okay, let's take a quick break and we'll come back with our weekly sports moment.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and I'm back for another season of my podcast, Climbing in Heels. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as fully obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. My podcast, Climbing in Heels, is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season, we're taking things up a notch. I'll be talking to some incredible women across so many industries, from models and beauty industry stars to doctors, entrepreneurs, and TV personalities. Climbing in Heels is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Every week, listeners will be able to ask me any questions. I'm answering it all. My life is absolutely crazy with so much going on, and I'm so beyond excited to bring you along for the ride. Whether we're talking red carpet looks, current trends, or products I'm obsessed with, I'm here to be your fashion fairy godmother. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Truck stop brothels run by a web of ex-cons. A Commonwealth attorney wasted on whiskey and power. Protection exchanged for cash and flesh. This is Hooker Game, Criminals and Libertines in the South. And I am your host, Dr. Lindsay Byron. 3 years ago, I came across a goldmine of news clippings detailing a scandal that rocked my small southern hometown. As I flipped through each page, this forgotten story came back to life.
I was told that it was just supposed to be a massage parlor.
The big shot in Davos, Barker.
He beats me continuously.
If you print anything that you hear in that grand jury, you will be put in jail.
I never gave any massages.
Listen to Hooker Gay, Criminals and Libertines in the South on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time for my favorite segment of the week.
Just kidding.
It's the weekly sports moment.
Here's Andrew's weekly sports moment.
All right. In a recent interview, Joe Buck.
We love him.
Admits he really called a 1994 Brett Favre winning touchdown while peeing in a bottle.
I don't mind it.
Oh, I love
it. I love Joe Buck's truth.
So yeah. I didn't understand the quote very well.
The trash can thing was a little confusing.
Okay, so yeah, he was saying how he was peeing into a trash can and somebody handed him a bottle. So was it midstream? Did he have to cut it off?
That's what I gathered. I gathered as he was peeing in a trash can, which, and then the game started, maybe the game started a little quicker, or like, I don't know. Something happened where he had this move from the trash can to a bottle.
Should we call him and get the true story?
Yeah, let's
You're going to have to... Or next time you guys go to dinner, you'll have to ask him.
No, let's call him right now.
Let's just try to. I've never called him. And if he can just clear this up for us really quickly.
He's only working Thursday night football, the World Series.
Yeah, he's only always working all the time, no matter what. But if we can get Joe Buck on the phone to confirm what happened with the trash can story. I've never called him. This is going to probably not go well.
No. There's no game.
I forwarded it. Hold on. I'm going to send him a voice memo. Maybe he'll get back to us before the end of the show. Hold on one sec.
Should I try him?
No.
Oh, I love seeing all your...
Hey, Joe. It's Nikki Glaser. I'm on air right now, and we're covering a story of you peeing in a bottle or a trash can. We're not sure how this all went down. We know it involved both containers. We're wondering if you were peeing in the trash can and then someone handed you a bottle, or if it started with the bottle and then it overflowed and you went over the trash can. If you could clear this up for us, we'd really appreciate it. Just send me back a voice memo, give me a call. Love to hear from you. We know that you are not busy and you're just sitting
around.
There's
no game on right now.
Yeah, there's no game on right now. So please get back to us. It's not like you have anything else to do.
Yeah.
All right.
But I love the dedication.
Have you ever peed in a bottle?
Yeah, driving.
Yeah. I mean, it fills up so much faster than you think it's going to fill up.
I don't get it. You drink a Gatorade and then you got three Gatorades in you.
Yeah, that's so weird. Whenever I've had to pee into a container, it's or like a cup at the doctor's office.
It's so warm, too.
I was going to make some joke about like
pissing in them.
Just like peeing in a doctor's office, but not for that reason.
Yeah, just to get back at him.
Yeah, because that's how you pay him, because he's a perv. It always fills up so fast. It's so much more water than you think.
You got to pick the right container. As a guy, I don't know how it is as a woman. I mean, I got to think you can't.
You
got to
have a big nozzle because you don't know where it's coming
like
from.
Yeah, like a cup.
Yeah, like you got to.
So you have no idea where your piss comes from?
I mean, I have a slight idea, but it, like I've said before, it's like, you know, a cave wall. Like you just see like water trickling down, but you're like, where's the spot?
When and then a bat appears. Yeah. When you piss, does it? It doesn't. Does it hit the walls or does it stream straight through?
It depends on like the pressure.
Okay.
So if it's like a trickle, it does have enough pressure to like come out because it has stuff around it generally, I guess.
Got you.
Do you feel the same way?
I had to write down a cue and I wasn't paying attention.
When you pee, does it trickle? It depends on the pressure, whether or not it goes down your leg or it comes out.
Also,
straight.
It depends like how tight my underwear are, you know.
Your underwear. They're off, though.
No, I know, but like if they were tight on me and like I just pull them and just like pee really quickly, there's no time for everything to like spread. You know what I mean?
What?
Maybe I said too much.
No, I feel like if your underwear are tight and everything's up there, yeah, there's no time for it to spread, so then it will trickle out like the cave wall.
Yes.
Got it. Yep. Nope, she's right. God. I agree with her.
I get what she's saying.
I know what you meant. At first, I was very confused.
She had to wait for it to divide.
Well, and she said, it depends on how tight. And I was like, where's this sentence going? Like, if your pussy's tight.
Sometimes when you pee,
it has nothing to do with that.
Sometimes if you pee after you masturbate or something, your pee can like spray in weird ways.
Because I think the cum can dry and create a blockage, and then it'll go.
It's like when you hold the end of a hose.
Yes.
It's kind of like that.
All right. Well, that was a great sports moment.
Yeah. We learned a lot about
Let's
sports.
Let's get to Fanthrax, shall we?
Fanthrax! Everybody get your fucking tits out. It's Fanthrax time. Put your cock in your own ass.
Oh my God.
All
right. Oh, Luigi likes you, Noah.
I love
him. He's warmed up to you. All right, this first one is from...
Okay, this first one is from Ariel. Hold on. Sorry, Luigi. I don't want to hit you with my computer.
Oh, my God. This is such a process.
Okay.
Hey, so sorry.
Sounds like you.
Hi, and my sister's vacuuming, so I just want to do this really quickly. But I was just watching you on YouTube, and you guys... should have named this podcast the Nicest Legs Podcast. Ooh, we got the nicest legs. Yeah, I love you guys.
Oh my God, that's so nice, Ariel. Thank you. Yeah, I got my dad's legs.
They're hot.
Everyone knows it.
Your dad has hot legs, no hair on his legs ever.
Yeah. Well, really?
Not much. I think when you get older, it like disappears.
No, my dad's like a pretty hairless guy, but he definitely has hair on his legs. And people always ask me what I do to work out, and I run 4 miles
from
every
your dad.
Like 2 weeks from my genetic disposition. no, I don't. They're just the way I was born. And you know, that's not me being like, I just don't, I'm not going to lie to you and say, here's my leg workout. I don't have one. I just don't. And
they're great.
Either.
Yeah.
They're beautiful.
Thanks.
A work of art.
Thank you. It's the only thing that comes easily to me. And it's not me trying to brag, but I don't have a specific workout, but I do run 4 miles about every 2 weeks now.
Okay. Let's get to the next one. You're going to love this.
Okay.
From Brooke.
Oh, and I take the stairs. Not because of... because I'm trying to work out, but because I read something recently that said that you should take the stairs because someday you're not going to be able to and you'll miss all the times you should have taken them.
Yeah.
Because you're going to get older. So that's why I take the stairs. Okay, what's up, Brooke?
Hey, guys. So, funny story that I had to share with you. I'm driving along, listening to the pod, as I do, and this guy is tailgating me. Super pissed off. I get over.
Yeah, totally. Okay.
You know, he goes around me. Pretty sure he was about ready to flip me off. And like, as I like was looking at him and was gonna like, you know, give a little road rage glare, I hear the Nikki's mom go, "Just kidding!" Busted up laughing. Wait. And like, this guy saw me just like laughing to his face, and it made it all better. So thank you guys.
She was listening
so
to the podcast?
Yeah, she was driving and listening to the podcast. The
it
guy
cut
was,
the tension.
The guy was tailgating behind her, and when she was going to flip him off when he was about to cut her off.
Just kidding. Oh, my God. In case someone right now is about to scream at their kids or kick their dog.
Just kidding.
Wait, Joe Buck wrote us back, but let's finish this voice message from Brooke.
Okay.
Not just in that instance, but all the time.
Thanks for doing the pod.
Really appreciate the podcast. And
love you, Brooke.
The serious chats you guys have, I think those are really beneficial for me. I talk so much about the podcast that my friends, I'm like, well, Nikki says. So they know who you are now. That was from me rambling
That's
about
awesome,
you.
Brooke.
Anyway, thank you so much again. Love you.
Thank
guys.
You, Brooke. Brooke is one of my favorite names. It's so crisp.
Yes, I love good that name.
Brooke.
Brooke.
Okay, Joe Buck.
Joe Brooke?
Joe Brooke sent us a message back.
I should make you buy my book so that you know the real story, and I make $26, but
I already bought it.
I'll just tell you that I was in Milwaukee where the Green Bay Packers used to play a home game every year, and the booth was so far away from the bathroom that I was stuck and the half wouldn't end, and I made everybody get out of the booth, and I was wearing a parka because it was freezing, and a guy had handed me like a little water bottle, and I knocked that away because, you know, at that point, aim is everything.
Yeah.
And then
and he hates plastic.
They brought over a trash can, and
got it.
Had a little bit of stage fright.
Yep.
And
I like Sleepy Joe.
Once I started going, well, the commercial break ended.
Yes.
Came back and a touchdown happened, and you got to do what you got to do. Beauties of live TV.
Yes, one more.
Oh, and the reason I tell you I had a parka is because once I unzipped it, it was like a long coat. I had my own stall.
Ah. So
yes.
Nobody could see anything.
That's good.
Smart.
Except for the fans in front of you. Except, dude.
I mean, like, what? Why was I aroused during that? Yeah, that
I mean, because in a way, he said he has a very wide cock.
Oh, he did?
Well, yeah. He's like, well, the bottle couldn't do the trick because aim is everything. So they had to bring me a full dumpster.
I
so
mean,
I could
think
throw
he's talking
my...
about his urethra. Was that no, I think know. He has a hose of a urethra. I think, like, no, I think a small funny. Water bottle.
Yes, it'd yeah. be very
Joe
difficult.
Buck's dick is so big wide. He can only don't give him a water bottle unless it's a fucking Nalgene.
Joe Buck can only piss in a
yeah. I guess you. I only hear Joe Buck when he's like talking like this, and it's like more, you know, like he's on, and that yes. was more like Joe horizontal Joe.
This was
I was like Joe fuck
yeah.
Like it was erotic, right, Noah?
I can yes.
you do your voices, and you're just like. Mm. Yeah,
and it
I
was
feel
like
very
timed, and everything is in this tone.
Yeah,
and then they brought out the parka, and my
I'm hypnotized.
Dick is so wide.
Look at you getting jealous of someone who accidentally maybe inferred that they have a big dick.
I'm not jealous at all. I hope Joe has a very wide, thick cock.
God. Andrew's gonna go buy a fucking watermelon after this and put nails in it.
And put Joe Buck's name in the crease.
Put a little piece of paper inside with Joseph Buckwald in it. Oh my God. Okay, well, we got
to be on the World Series tonight being like, fuck my dick. My wide watermelon dick. Fuck.
My parka. When my parka rubs up against it, it hurts. All right.
Two strikes.
Oh yeah, doesn't he have like a game to, is
yeah,
there a game tonight?
Yeah, the World Series.
Is it game two tonight?
It's game three. Game two is last night. I don't know if they
oh, okay. Well, shit. Let's get to final thought.
Oh fuck.
All right. Let me play this final voicemail from Sarah for you.
Okay, Sarah.
Nikki. Hi Nikki, sorry. Andrew and Noah. My name is Sarah. I'm from Philadelphia. I am a true
Hi Sarah.
The reason I am sending you guys a voice recording today is because it's currently Sunday, aka a day where you guys don't record, and I'm on my way home from my parents' house. It's about an hour drive, and I'm just wishing I had a podcast to listen to from you guys.
We're not going to do it on Sunday. Sorry.
I went on my podcast app and went to Nikki Glaser Pod and scrolled and scrolled and scrolled, but every single one was played, so I don't have anything else to listen to.
Oh, my God, Sarah.
But my main reason to send in a recording was Nikki last night in my dream. It was you and me and, like, a bunch of other people, I guess, but every other sentence was, just kidding. So just want to say that, you know, you guys are in all the besties' hearts and our dreams, and jack-o'-lantern.
Oh, my God. You know what? That was not my favorite voicemail.
Just kidding.
It was. That was great.
I love how she said it. Just kidding.
Oh, I love when people have dreams that I'm in, because I just feel like that means I'm doing something right. Like I'm then we really are friends. That's so cool. I love you so much, Brooke, Sarah, and who was
Ariel.
Ariel.
Job.
And Joe Buck, for Joe calling Fuck. Into the show, Joe Fuck. So nice. And I love that people are loving. Just kidding. I mean, it really is a thing my mom says all the time after she says anything. And she was, she had a I think she must have had a drink last night or something. Because she even said to me, she goes, I think you think I'm drunk. And I think maybe she was just in a good mood because they didn't have booze last night.
She gets nervous when... you know, she had to, you know, sing or like the question thing. But when she gets nervous and like,
she's her funny. Best. She's her best. She really is.
She's like, I ask, wait, what did she say?
She handles stress with grace.
Yeah, she does. She's getting so much more confident too.
Yes.
Like when I asked her to do the podcast the day that you weren't able to, when you were in Charleston, usually when I call her up to do something, it's like, what am I? They don't want me to do that. Yeah. What am I going to do? What am I going to say? Well, what are you going to ask me? Nick, I'm not going to be good. And this time I was like, I was on a run and I was trying to get it all figured out. And I just called my mom. I'm like, hey, mom, can you do the podcast tomorrow? And she goes, yeah, that's fun. And I was like, what? Like, I almost called her on a run so I could be like, I can't talk. Bye. And she was just so fast, like, yes. Now she's, like, confident.
Oh, now she talks shit to me every time I see her.
Really?
She'll go, oh, who's taking your spot? Who's taking your spot?
Oh,
I go,
God.
Just kidding. She goes, not kidding.
Who got left?
I will.
Who got left? thank you guys so much for listening to the podcast this week. We will be back next week. We always are. Sorry we won't be there on Sunday, Sarah. But we'll be thinking about you. And there's always, there's other podcasts out there, but... you know, just go back and listen to another one of these, an old one. And I'm constantly appearing on podcasts. I actually just appeared on Maim Bialix podcast. Forget the name of it, but Maim, Mayim. If you search on podcasts, getting a lot of good feedback about that one. It was a really fun show and a lot of new fans. I felt like I really brought this, you know, Nikki Glaser podcast energy to that. Yes. So if you're up for something to listen to and you miss us this weekend, you can go check that out. You can always check out Puddles with Andrew Collin. That's his podcast. And
we're on YouTube now with this podcast.
So yeah, and you go can
subscribe.
Watch us.
Yeah.
Subscribe and tell.
Write nice comments.
And everyone out there, if you love the pod, tell five people over the next 2 weeks. Let the word know, because we will come and do a live show in a few months and Nikki can quit everything else.
Yeah, I mean, like, I don't know. It's just like, if you know that something in your, like, brings you joy and you, like, it's not like a thing that only you would like. Like, if this actually has improved your life or made you feel less lonely, like, give the gift to someone else. And I'm not asking for that for selfish reasons. I really am not, like,
I am.
If there's anything in your life that you enjoy and you can give to people, like, if you're able to give, like, really good foot massages and there's someone in your life who, like, their joy is totally based on whether or not someone touches their foot.
My hands are starting to quiver.
Right. Well, I'm just saying, if you have the ability to give someone joy and you withhold it, that's weird. So just give and give and give and do something nice for someone today. If it's recommending our pod, if it's giving you $1 to the homeless person, if it's just not flicking someone off when they cut you off or tailgate you. Just kidding. But seriously, we love you so much. And I'm not.
Just kidding.
So don't be ca.
And
Jack
kidding.
I can't believe I haven't done that one yet.
Just kidding.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off starts Friday and opens Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts. But we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Truck stop brothels run by a web of ex-cons. A Commonwealth attorney wasted on whiskey and power. Protection exchanged for cash and flesh. This is Hooker Game, Criminals and Libertines in the South. And I am your host and lifelong wayward woman, Dr. Lindsay Byron. Listen to Hooker Game, Criminals and Libertines in the South on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.